Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We started a study last week. We're calling it self-control. That's the title of the subject. And the bottom line is taking control of our lives, doing what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do. Where Paul says, I buffet my body, that I make it my slave so that he can do what God wanted him to do. And so we started last week with this big question, and that is, will believers automatically grow? And the answer is no, not automatically. And how are we going to grow? How are we going to serve him? How are we going to make a difference for Christ? And how we live right now affects our eternal aspect, our eternal time with Christ. So we wanted to look at this whole issue of self-control. And so we started last week. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 deal with that. We just got started. In fact, I planned last week that we got the whole passage, but we had input and a lot of other good things. And so we just really got started in our study. So we're going to think about that again this morning and get going into it and maybe even get into further than we could have gotten even last week. It's important that we talk about this self-control. And when you say that, that sounds almost bad. Like, self-control, what do you mean self-control? Control. We're talking about how do we live the Christian life, and there's some vital things that we'll see. So what are the keys? How does it all fit? We'll see it. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great day. Thank you for that great song, and thank you for the privilege we have of coming together. Lord, there's so many different ministries and different things that people can do. Lord, we just think first of all about college students. We love them. We thank you, Lord, that we consider it your grace that you allow college students to come to our church. We just love it, and we thank you for them. We thank you for their lives and ministries. We pray for them for the summer. We know that some are going just for the summer and going to be gone and then come back in the fall. We can hardly wait for them to come back. We know, Lord, some are graduating and leaving and won't be coming back. And you'll just be taking them all over the world to be used by you. And we pray for them. And, Lord, we pray for those who might be going on mission trips or things this summer. We just ask you to protect them and use them. Lord, for those that are here, that will be here all the time, Lord, thank you that you let us be in this church and let us be together and let us grow. And, Lord, we just ask you that from your word, you would teach us and we'd understand it. We'd make application. Lord, we ask you as we think about self-control and how all that fits, that we'll be able to understand it and make application. Lord, our goal is to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And we know that growth as a Christian, Lord, we know it just doesn't happen. Doesn't just happen. We have to pursue that, and we have to grow and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, we ask that you'd teach us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gave a lot of illustrations last week. We started, like, the alarm goes off and it's time to get up, but you don't feel like it. What do you do? Or it's time to go work out. You don't feel like it. What do you do? Or it's time to cut the grass. You don't feel like it. Or it's time to pay the bills. You don't feel like it. Or even from the flip side, you put yourself sort of on a diet, and you say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch what I eat, and I'm not going to eat donuts and things right now because, say, I'm going to try to lose weight. But then somebody says, hey, here's some Krispy Kremes. And you go, oh, wow. And then you say to yourself, I know I'm not supposed to eat that. I don't want to eat. I've said I don't want to eat that, but I don't think one more will hurt me. Or how do we say it? Or what happened? There were donuts right up there. What happened to them? Anyway, I don't know. But when you think about it, how do we deal with things like this? How do we do the things we're supposed to do and not do the things we're not supposed to do? We have responsibilities in family, work, church, self. Sometimes we don't feel like it. There is a battle inside. Now, we mentioned this last week, and I want to remind you, there is a battle inside of every one of us who know Christ as Savior. The Bible calls this an aspect of us. It calls it the flesh. Sometimes people call it the sin nature. The Bible doesn't really call it sin nature. It's called the flesh. Sometimes it's called sin within us. Sometimes it's called the bent to do wrong. Sometimes it's called old man. Inside of us, there is a natural bent pull to do wrong. Left to ourselves, if we do what's the natural thing, if we do the comfortable thing, if we do just whatever feels normal, it will be to sin, because we have a natural bent to sin. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. The flesh pulls us, it's there. What is great for us is that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're born again, you're made alive, you were dead spiritually, now you're alive spiritually. And on top of all that, God actually gives inside of us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and the capacity to do right. So what's happening in all of our lives as believers, there's this battle going on that's a part of you saying, do this, which is wrong. And the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God, is telling you, do this, which is right. Galatians says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, contrary one to another, so that you may not do the things that you want. There's a battle inside of us. And if left to ourselves, you will sin. You will do whatever you want to do. If you live your life based on what's natural and comfortable, you will sin and you will not grow as a Christian. So what you're going to have to do is not do what's natural. You have to do what is supernatural. Now, when I talk about discipline ourselves and all that, I'm not talking about doing that in the power of the flesh. I'm talking about in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. You make choices that you're going to choose to live righteously and godly, and you're going to grow. And that's what this is about, because we have to do things even when we don't want to do things. And what I talked about, I started last week, we said that the three big areas we're going to look at as we go through our study. Number one, we're seeing the charge by Paul, the command to be self-controlled. And we're seeing that, and that's, we didn't get very far, but 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, that's what we're going to look at today. If we have time, we'll move into the second part, which is God's provision. What has God given to us so that we can have victory in the Christian life? So that we can be, in a sense, self-controlled, okay? And then the third thing is I'm going to give you some practical applications dealing with some various areas. So this is a 2 to 3 week study, probably at the most. So let's look at the charge by Paul. Here was the very first thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. We just got into this last week. It says, "Do you not know that all who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win." Now, that's how Paul started out. And he says, you know, when people run in races, they run to get a prize. But only one really gets the prize. If you line up 10 people and they shoot the gun, the front one to the end first wins and they get the prize. But he says, run in such a way that you may win. Now, he's using this as an analogy, and he's saying the Christian life is a race. But the thing that's unique about the Christian life, you're not racing other people in the Christian life. You're not trying to be better or different than somebody else. You're actually racing yourself. He says, run so that you may win. And so the idea of the Christian life is that we want to start, when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the plan is to run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. To run that race, keep on going, step by step, moment by moment, day after day after day, living in such a way that we bring glory to Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? Because naturally, we don't want to. As much as I love teaching the Bible, and I even love studying the Bible, there are many times when it's time to study the Bible, I don't want to. I don't want to. Why would I want to? The natural thing is not to. If I go by what I feel like doing, I don't want to study. I don't want to memorize verses. I don't want to share my faith. I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay around and watch TV and eat. Right? If I just do what I want to. Right. Freddie, you like that too? Yeah, okay. Right? But if we're going to make an impact for Christ, we've got to do things that is supernatural in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we started last week and we saw that, don't you know that all who run in a race all run, but only one gets the prize? Now, for us, run in such a way that you win. And this talks about rewards. And we just touched on rewards last week. And let me remind you of some things. First of all, when we talk about rewards, sometimes people have a problem with that. The Bible is full of it all the way through the New Testament, even Old Testament, but especially through the New Testament. Over and over it talks about rewards and prizes and the fruit and having Jesus say, well done, and all of this. But for some reason, historically, churches don't teach a whole lot about rewards. For two reasons. One, I think a lot of people think that if you start talking about rewards, that you're going to get rewarded, that it's selfish. And, you know, somebody says, live the Christian life so you can get rewards. And you go, oh, shucks, no, I don't want any rewards. I just want to serve Jesus. And because you don't want to say rewards, because if you say rewards, it sounds like you're selfish. No, the Bible actually says, run the race so you can get the prize. So the Bible, it's not selfish to want rewards. You're only obeying your Savior. The second thing is sometimes people don't really want to think about being accountable to God. Because from the reward end, that's where you're accountable. Now, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved and you're saved forever. You'll never stand before God for sin or anything like that. But how you live your Christian life, you will stand before your Savior. And we're going to talk about it in just a second. We mentioned it last week. We didn't go to any verses. I want you to see some verses. But you're going to stand before your Savior, and He's either going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, or as according to 1 John chapter 2, you might be ashamed at His coming. That has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with rewards. So when we think about this, He says, run so that you get the prize. Run that you win. You He's saying, run so that you can get the prize. We're going to stand before him one day. Let me, I want you to just hold your place right there and turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. I think we did look at this verse last week. Is that right? Didn't we look at 2 Corinthians 5 last week? I don't know. Maybe anybody can remember. I can't remember. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. I think we did touch on this. But he says, let me give everybody a chance to flip over there. If you're in 1 Corinthians, just a couple of pages on toward the back of your Bible, you get to 2 Corinthians 5 pretty quickly. And he says this, and he's talking about to believers. Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, writing to the believers. He says in verse 9, our ambition is to please God. And then he says, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. And the word bad there literally means worthless. It means something that's like trash. It's not any good. So he says, we must all of us must appear, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment is not bad. The word is bema, and I mentioned this last week. It's a rewarding stand. You're going to stand before Jesus. He's sitting on a stand, and he's got all kind of rewards that he wants to give out. That's picture that. You're going to get to stand before the one who saved you, the one who gave you eternal life, the one who has blessed you, empowered you, loves you more than you could ever imagine. You're going to stand before him, and what we want to hear him say is, well done. Hey, look, here's what I got for you. Come on a little closer here. I got these things for you. That's what we want. He says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one individually may be recompensed. The word recompense means to be given back, to be given to. He's basically saying, you serve me, I reward you. You run the race, run so that you can win because I'm going to give you a prize. We each one will be recompensed for the deeds, his actions, his works in this body, in this life, according to what you've done, whether they're good or worthless. The worthless ones are things done in the flesh that are burned up, they're gone, you don't have anything for it. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says our works will be tested by what? By fire. And he uses this analogy of gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. He says it's going to be tested by fire. If you put gold, silver, and precious stone to fire, what happens to it? You still got it. Just purify it. You still got it. That's your reward. If you put wood, hay, and straw to fire, what happens? Burned up. He says, one day when you stand before Christ, he's just using this as an analogy, the fire's going to test it. What's left over, you get rewarded. What's gone, you don't get anything. I'm not talking sin, not talking about standing before God for the sins you've done. All your sins were placed on Jesus Christ, already paid for. Sin's never the issue. Do you understand that for an unbeliever, sin is not the issue? He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed. It's never sin is never the issue. Sin's already paid for by Jesus Christ. So when you stand before Jesus Christ, sin's not the issue. It's how did you serve me? Now the bottom line, the only way you're going to serve him is you're going to have to discipline yourself for godliness. You're going to have to say, I want to control myself. I want to live in such a way that I bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, that my life counts for him. I love the Romans passage, Romans 14, 11 and 12. Talks about, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. It's pretty rugged. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God. It has nothing to do with salvation. And I think that people get so bothered. In fact, I've had people come and say, I just don't want to stand before Jesus and he go over every sin and everything that I've ever done. I said, he won't do that. Where are your sins? On Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says that God placed those sins on Jesus and reconciled us to himself. There's a second aspect of these rewards, and we touched on it last week, but the rewards are based on faithful service. 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards to be found faithful. And this, to me, solves every issue, because there's sometimes people will say things, well, what about a person who has this spiritual gift and this person who has this spiritual gift, or this person who lives 80 years and this person only lives 20 years? I mean, it doesn't seem fair that the person who lived 80 years gets to serve Jesus for 80 years. They're going to have a lot more rewards than the person who trusts Christ and serves God for 20 years. Doesn't seem fair. Well, that's not the way he judges it. He doesn't judge it on how long you served him or the spiritual gifts that he's given you or even the results, because the results come from him. He judges you on, are you faithful? Are you faithful for 80 years? Are you faithful for 20 years? You remember the parable where the man goes out and the feet goes out and he sees some people and he says, would you like to work on my field today? I'll pay you one denarius if you'll work. And they go, yeah. And they go out. That's early in the morning. He goes back about 9 in the morning. He sees some other guys standing around. Says, I still need some help. You want to come work in the field? They said, yeah. He said, I'll pay you what's right. And they go work. Comes back at 12, gets some more. Comes back at 3 in the afternoon, gets some more. Comes back at 5 in the afternoon and says, listen, the day's almost over, but I still need some more help. You guys want to come work? And they went, yeah. He said, how come you guys hadn't worked? We didn't have anybody. Go work. I'll pay you what's right. When they get to the end of the day, what does he do? He says, line them up in the reverse order. The people who work last, bring them up first. So here's the guy who worked for 1 hour. And what does he give him? A denarius. Same as the guy who worked all day. The guy in the back of the line goes, hey, he's going to give me more probably because he's got a denarius. And he worked only 1 hour and I worked all day. When he got up there, what did he get? Denarius. He said, you were faithful in the time that you worked, just as this guy for an hour was faithful. That's the point of that parable. It's faithfulness that's the key. So bottom line, are you faithful? And that's why we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So he says, run the race so that you get the prize. Look at verse, go back to 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24 again, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one gets the prize? That's not right for us, because he says run in such a way that you may win. See, everyone who competes in the games exercises what? Self-control in all things. Now, he's already hit on that. This is the key issue to get the prize, self-control. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, we an imperishable. And remember, I think last week we talked about this and said that when it says here, those who compete in the games, that was like the Olympic games or the Isthmus games, whatever. If people were going to compete in the games, they decided beforehand, we would like to compete in the games. They left their homes, they went to a certain training facility, and they stayed there sometimes as long as 8 or 9 months. They had to eat certain food, they had to get up a certain time, they had to train at certain times. And if a person didn't do it, if they didn't get up when they were supposed to get up, if they didn't eat what they were supposed to eat, they were disqualified. They weren't self-controlled, and they said, if you don't do it, you're out. And there were people who were eliminated because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't even get to compete. They didn't get a chance. They didn't get any rewards, you might say. He says, don't you know that everyone who competes in the games, they have to exercise self-control. They got to control themselves. They got to do what they're supposed to do. They do it so they get this little wreath that's perishable that, you know, after a few years, it's nothing because it's just a thing of wreath, you know. But we do all this to get an imperishable. Now, they got a temporary reward. The rewards that we're going to get for serving Jesus Christ are eternal rewards. When you stand before Jesus Christ and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, he's going to reward you, and the rewards are going to be for you as you go into the eternal kingdom. The first part of the eternal kingdom is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We usually call that the kingdom, but the first part of the kingdom is the 1,000 years. Then after that, there's the great white throne judgment. And then there's what we call the eternal state, or we go into the eternal kingdom. And you're going to serve him for all eternity if you look at Revelation chapter 22. So the rewards that he gives you are positions of responsibility and no telling what, as you serve him in the kingdom and the eternal state, on and on and on. So what you do right now as a Christian does not have a bearing on your eternal destiny. It has a bearing on your eternal rewards and service for Jesus Christ. So how are you going to have an impact? Well, he says, the people who do the games exercise self-control. That means all of us in this room, if we're going to make an impact for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to exercise self-control. And that means in the battle of the flesh and the spirit, and that thing that's going on day in and day out in our lives, we're going to have victory. Look what he goes on to say. He says, therefore, I run, and Paul's talking about himself, but it's for all of us, is therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I discipline my body and make it my slave. Now, we put all that together, but he says, I have a purpose. I run in such a way, not without aim. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm supposed to do. It means all of us in this room, we've got a purpose. You are here, and the Great Commission is to do what? It's to make disciples. Just remember that. That's the key. And making discipleship has two parts. It is evangelism and training. We're to lead people to Christ and train them and equip them. That's our plan and purpose in this life. So you need to discipline yourself, and you run the race not without aim. We know what we're supposed to do. We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're to be His servants, and we're to be ambassadors for Christ. All of these different things. And so He says, I run in such a way, not without aim. I know what I'm doing. I box in such a way as not beating the air. He said, I'm not just shadow boxing. I know what I'm supposed to do. I discipline my body. Some translations play, I buffet my body. I make it my slave. You know what that means? That means when it's time to study the Bible, you make yourself study. When it's time to get up, you get yourself up. When it's time not to eat something, don't eat it. When it's time not to look at somebody you're looking at and you think, well, I'm not supposed to and I'm not going to. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have victory in these things. You exercise self-control. It's pretty powerful. He says, I discipline my body. I buffet my body. I make it my slave. Who decides if you grow as a Christian or not? Who does? You do. Who decides if you memorize verses? Who decides if you share your faith? Who decides if you're going to grow and make an impact? And all? Who decides all that? You do. It doesn't just something just happens. Christian life does not just happen. Growth in the Christian life does not just happen. It comes by you choosing to obey the Word of God in God's power, disciplining your body, making it your slave. And then Paul goes on and says something that's pretty powerful. He says, so that after I preach to others, after I've done, I myself will not be disqualified. He said, I don't want God not to use me. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. He says, if I don't control myself, if I don't live my life in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's not going to use me because I'm living in the flesh. He can't use people in the flesh. If we're going to win, get the prize. If we don't control ourselves, we'll not be able to serve God and get the rewards. Now, Paul's point, you want to live for Christ? We have to take our bodies and put them under control. And as I said a while ago, and I think this is something that, you know, I didn't grasp it. This is, when I became a Christian, I didn't know any of this stuff. Even after years of being a Christian, because I've been a Christian for a long time now, I didn't understand all this. I kind of thought Christian life just sort of happened. Doesn't just sort of happen. You choose. You decide. The Christian life does not just happen. We will not naturally grow. We will not naturally serve God and make an impact for Christ. The natural thing is sin. The natural thing is the flesh and self. The supernatural thing is to live for God. Now, who decides? Who decides? We do. Listen to what Paul says in some places in the Scripture. Stop letting sin reign in your mortal body. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Run the race with endurance. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. Walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation. He said work it out. He said live out who you are. In God's power, we control ourselves to be able to do the things that He has for us to do, so that we can hear Him say, when we stand before Him and have lived this life, we can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me give you two applications. The first one is this. Let's live in such a way that you're going to be rewarded. Make a decision today, if you never have, that you want your life to count for Jesus Christ. That you want to be rewarded. That you want to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me tell you what. One of these days, you will stand before Him. There is no, opting out of this. And He loves you. He wants it to be a great day. A great day. Tonight we got this Awana Awards thing, and all these kids are going to be in here, and they're going to say, this person finished their second book or whatever, and they're going to walk up there, and everybody's going to clap and cheer, and they're being rewarded. It is a great night for these kids. You realize God's going to have His ceremony. And He's going to say, come on up, come on up. Jerry Bowman, come on up. Here's what Jerry did. It's going to be a great day. Let's live in such a way that we'll hear Him say, well done. Second, let's exercise self-control. Walk worthy the calling which we've been called. Work out our own salvation. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Stop letting sin reign in our mortal bodies. All of those charges that Paul gives, they're all commands for us to do. May we exercise self-control as we live for Jesus Christ, making an impact so we can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I know this will be a week. We got time for a second. Any questions, comments, input, anything? Okay, the Luke 12 passage, or is it 12:2, did you say? Where it says, everything hidden that will be revealed. I don't think that passage is dealing with believers at the judgment seat of Christ and a reward stand. I think that's just saying, everything's going to come before God. If you remember the book of Hebrews where it says, we will give an account of him before that he know, nothing's hidden from his sight. I think that, let's face it, is any of your sins hidden from his sight? No, I don't think when it means be revealed there, that it means that all people are going to stand there and they're going to say, now here's all your sins, here's all the things you did wrong. I don't think that's what's talking about there. I don't think it's talking about unbelievers, because unbelievers' sins aren't the issue either. If you remember at the great white throne judgment, when the unbelievers stand there, they're judged according to their what? To their deeds, and if their name is not found written in the book of life. So I think that's all that's saying is that you can't hide anything from God. There's no way to ever hide anything. He knows all things and all will be revealed. I don't think it means revealed in a public way to all people. That okay? Does that help? Okay. Yeah, Jerry. That's a great point. Jerry said, you know, because we talked last time about somebody could say, you know, I don't really care whether they get any rewards or not. I don't just don't want to. But the Christian life, as Jerry says, is not optional. It's not optional. It's not like, well, you can serve him or not serve him, because in that parable of the talents, he gave 1 5, 1 3, 1 1, or whatever it was. Remember, the first one came back and said, well done. The second one, but the last guy, he said, I just kind of hid it and put it in the ground. He was not pleased with that. It wasn't like, well, you know, it was yours. You could do whatever you want to with it. It wasn't his. Is your time on this earth, your gifts, your abilities, talents, and all that, is that yours? It is not yours. You're a steward of Jesus Christ. So everything he's given you, this Christian life, is not optional. It's him giving it to you and saying, use it wisely for my glory. And so if you don't, when you stand before him, you are definitely going to be embarrassed and ashamed at his coming. So that's a good passage. Good point. Okay, anything else? Well, I've said all the way through that none of this is in your flesh. It is God's power through you. It is your choice. You choose to walk in the Spirit. You choose to obey the Bible. You choose to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're exactly right, Vernon. We can't do one thing in our power. Anything in our power is burned up. It's nothing. In the power of the Holy Spirit, there are rewards. And you're exactly right. Okay, we'll get more next time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we think about the college students. We miss them and love them. We wish they weren't leaving, but they got to go for the summer. And we pray many of them will get to come back. And those that are leaving, Lord, just use them for your glory all over the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.